The flu outbreak has now spread to 36 states, and some emergency rooms are beginning to overflow. Overcrowding in the ER is a problem 365 days a year for many hospitals. There are many causes: uninsured patients seeking care, bad organization within hospitals, a shortage of doctors willing to be on call. We have two reports this week on the state of emergency care. In the first, NPR's Patricia Naimond spent a weekend watching the action in one L.A. emergency room.
4 in the afternoon, and Dr. Dan Higgins is starting his shift in the emergency room at St. Francis Medical Center in Los Angeles.
How you doing?
The doctor he's relieving fills Higgins in on the patients who are already here.
Okay, Dan, I'm ready to sign out, and I have just one real sign out, and everybody else is just a report. Patient number one is admitted to the trauma surgeon with a gunshot wound to the pelvis. Patient two is going home.
It's relatively slow for a Saturday. A drug overdose, a man with heart palpitations, a minor gunshot wound, and one patient who will plague Dr. Higgins throughout the night.
Do you use any drugs?
What were you drinking today, beer, wine, or whiskey?
The patient is unkempt, with bloody bruises on his face and head, a large untreated laceration on his leg.
Who do you live with?
Staying at your parents?
The patient, we'll call him Joe, is awake enough to admit he's been taking drugs. He's been here for over 7 hours, and Higgins decides to leave him and wait until he wakes up a little more. By federal law, Joe and any other patient who arrives in a hospital emergency room must be treated. And if they need to be admitted to the hospital and there's no room, the ER is legally bound to stabilize the patient before transferring them to another hospital.
Hey, Dan Higgins, how are you?
In Los Angeles, county hospitals receive special funding to care for uninsured patients. And so far, it appears that Joe is uninsured.
So now I've got to call the county hospital to try to get him in. So now it's going to be a long wait for them to call back, and they may or may not accept him. And if they don't accept him, I think since he's been here for so long, he still hasn't awake, he needs to come in, so we'll just accept him here.
But St. Francis can't easily admit Joe, because all the beds upstairs in this hospital are full. So while Higgins waits to hear back from the county hospital, Joe takes up a bed in the ER. That means other patients have to wait.
Here's a patient with high blood pressure, been waiting for 7 hours outside. It's a flank pain that's been out there for 9 hours. Here's a bunch more. Look at this. There's abdominal cramps, been waiting for 4 hours. Fainting, been waiting almost 9 hours. So pretty much when we started the shift, the same people have been waiting are still waiting.
Can you take off your jacket for me?
Mm-hmm.
Triage.
Jenny Colley is the nurse who decides who gets into the ER right away and who waits. It's an extremely difficult, delicate task. Patients are frustrated and scared. One woman just slammed the door in Colley's face.
She's a young 42-year-old lady that came in with chest pain, a sharp chest pain, and we did an EKG on her, and it was normal. She just was very upset that she has to wait.
But unless you have a life-threatening emergency, you'll have to wait, and wait a long time. There are a number of reasons why. Population growth, more and more people with no health insurance, and when there's no doctor to call on a Saturday night and your 8-year-old is vomiting and has a high fever, the ER is often the only option.
What time did she start vomiting?
6.
6 o'clock this evening?
Yes.
How many times do you think she vomited since
Just
then?
Like twice, I think.
Twice? Well, that's not too bad.
Temperature's taken, the child is weighed, and then mother and child are sent back out to the waiting room.
Okay. Now, if you don't mind just waiting back out there.
We're not delivering good primary care. We're not doing pap smears. We're not following up on blood pressure problems. We're not doing mammograms. We can't give immunizations or track that at all. They're not getting good primary care, yet this huge bill is being paid for emergency departments, and yet patients aren't getting what they need. They need primary care.
Not only are there more patients without insurance, even those with insurance often can't find a primary care doctor because this is a low-income neighborhood and most physicians don't want to open practices here. So the overcrowding gets worse.
Oh, my gosh. Have you been seen yet? Okay.
Dr. Higgins is gentle with his patients and seems to resist weariness, although at this hour he must be getting tired. He says he hopes there won't be any paramedic teams bringing in patients for the next few hours. That way they could get caught up and see the patients who are waiting. But it doesn't work out that way.
Trauma's here, Carol.
It's now about 9:30 Saturday night, and activity is really picking up. There's a young girl doubled over in pain from pancreatitis, an alcoholic who fell and gashed his head, an older man who died from a heart attack. And now, the victim of a bike accident is being brought in.
Don't know if he hit the car or if the car hit him.
Unfortunately, the trauma room is being used by Julie McKay, a physician's assistant who's busy suturing a cut on the head of an elderly Alzheimer's patient. Now, she has to move out, quickly.
Julie, get out of the room! Which way do you want to go? Straight out there.
But there is nowhere to go. There are patients lying on gurneys in the corridors. All the rooms are full. All the beds taken. One of them is taken by Joe, the incoherent patient with bruises on his face and kidney problems, is still taking up a bed.
No way. Is there any rooms open up in the trauma hallway?
The American Hospital Association reports 80% of all urban hospital emergency rooms are crowded, like St. Francis, and the average amount of time patients wait is nearly 4 hours. Back in St. Francis's waiting room, Ruby and Ernest Smith tell the nurse they just can't wait any longer.
Ernest Smith?
Mm-hmm. He hasn't been seen by a doctor yet. I know, I understand you guys are really crowded, but this is a little too much.
Ernest Smith is on dialysis, and earlier in the day, he started having trouble breathing. Once here in the ER, nurses gave him oxygen and determined his condition was not life-threatening. So he waited. Ruby Smith.
Yeah, 7 or 8 hours, I think he has been here, and he hasn't been seen by a doctor yet.
And are you in pain, or are you in...
My whole body's like sore.
But, I mean, they have no room. They're just overcrowded. And after 7 hours, and you haven't been seen... You know, maybe I'll try out another hospital or something. I don't know. But I think it's just crazy.
Ironically for the hospital, Ernest is one patient who could have actually paid for his care. Ruby has health insurance and Ernest is on Medicare. Dr. Higgins points out that one of the great dangers of an overcrowded ER system is that everyone is at risk, patients with insurance as well as those without.
I mean, the best way to help this system is let it fail and let some people die. And the old saying is we're probably a celebrity death away from a solution here. But as physicians and nurses, that would be unethical to allow that to happen. So we're fighting and trying to make people understand what dire straits we're in with the hopes it doesn't get to the point where people lose their lives or become injured unnecessarily to prove that point.
Higgins says that what hospitals need is not tweaking at the regulations, but a big infusion of cash. It's midnight now, the end of Dr. Higgins' shift, although he stays for another couple of hours to wrap up his cases.
Okay, so what do I have? See, what I have the young lady with pancreatitis is done. She's going upstairs. The man with a rapid heartbeat, we got his heartbeat down to a normal level. We'll check on bed 12 to see if his vomiting is any better.
Dr. Dan Higgins ends his shift, much as he started it.
Okay, all done.
With patient Joe taking up a precious bed, and well over a dozen people in the waiting room still trying to get in.
Night.
Patricia Namond, NPR News, Los Angeles.